9 o'clock, Sports Radio 94, WIP, Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley producing. It is our special Phillies roundtable show on opening day eve. You can feel it in the air. Baseball is back. We'll have the Phillies tomorrow, 3:05 against the Atlanta Braves. And right now, we go to a special insider guest. Joining the show is Odyssey MLB insider John Heyman. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sportsbooks don't want you to see. Better, bet smarter, and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. And make sure you go check out John's podcast, Big Time Baseball, the best baseball guests and the insights around. And John joins us here to preview the season. Also with some news, I believe. John, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good, John. So I saw your tweet a few minutes ago about baseball and the DH. There was some, I don't even know where it started. Maybe you, Darvis, said something, but there was a little bit of speculation tonight that maybe, like last year, there'd be a rule change or something big before the season started, this time with the DH. You tweeted out a few minutes ago that this is now not happening?
Yeah, Darvish and some other pitchers were hoping that it would happen, and it is not going to happen, and they're going to have to hit this year, first time since 2019. Obviously, pitchers did not hit last year, but this year they're going to have to hit. You know, I actually like the National League rules, but I get it. I mean, they have not hit for a year and a half now, and, you know, for the sake of their health, I think it would have been better to have the universal DH, but the union and MLB just couldn't come to an agreement.
John, why do you think this was so hard? I mean, last year they snuck it in under the premise of health and safety. I assume they could have tried to do something like that again for the best interest of the game. Why do you think it was so hard to get the DH? And I know in the past they've tried to tie the DH to the expanded playoffs, and the players didn't want to do that. But if it was just about the DH, it strikes me as odd they couldn't find some sort of common ground. I mean, I guess this is the way it is. They never find a common ground, the players and owners.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it strikes you as odd. It is odd that they couldn't figure it out. I mean, it's a bargaining chip. I get it. There is a value to it. So MLB wanted to throw it in and bargain and get that expanded playoffs and give in on the DH. But the union really just didn't want to talk about anything. They don't want to do any deals. They didn't want to open it. And, you know, it's a shame that they just can't get along and figure it out, because I think both sides agree it'd be better in terms of safety to not have the pitchers hitting this year. But, you know, they just can't seem to agree on anything. So we should not be shocked that they couldn't agree on this.
No, we're not. John Heyman joining us here, our Odyssey MLB insider on the eve of opening day. Phillies Braves tomorrow. John, what is the perception around baseball of the 2021 Phillies? Because we were talking earlier how it's interesting. 2 years ago, the Phillies signed Bryce Harper. They traded for Real Muto. And there was a lot of hype around here about how good they were going to be. And then they didn't turn out to be very good. Even last year, you know, maybe the Phillies are going to be good again. And then they weren't. And it feels like they're flying under the radar now. Is the perception, again, another mediocre team? Or do people think this Phillies team might be a better one this year?
Yeah, I think they're under the radar. I think a lot of people are looking at them as a slightly above-average team in a very tough division. And, you know, for that reason, maybe won't make the playoffs. But they're clearly a threat to make the playoffs. They didn't make the big splashy signing, like Arrieta, and Harper, Real Muto. No huge deal like that, except for, of course, they brought back Real Muto and Gregorius, players they already had. So, you know, people might look at it and say, you know, they weren't very good last year, so they won't be good again. But you know what? The bullpen changes are huge. The team, as you know, was really, really sabotaged by the bullpen last year. I don't say that lightly. That bullpen was one of the worst of all time, and it just made things impossible. They had as many leads as any team in the National League, except for the Dodgers last year, and it was all ruined by the pen, which was all-time bad. So, obviously, they brought in Archie Bradley. I love Kinsler. I saw him a lot last year. Did a great job as the closer for the Marlins. And, you know, I don't expect him to be the closer necessarily, but he can do it. You know, the guy's got a big heart and great control. A big believer in him. You know, they definitely made a lot of good changes in that pen. You know, Neris is back, but you've got Bradley, you've got Alvarado, you know, Kinsler, as I said, David Hale. The bullpen looks to me like an average bullpen, and an average bullpen is a major, major improvement for the Phillies.
John, do you think there's a sense of urgency? Do you sense one with the Phillies? The way I look at it is, look, when you sign Bryce Harper to that contract, you really want to maximize his prime. Because I think everyone realizes when he gets into his early 30s, late 30s, mid-30s, he's not going to be the same player, and they'll probably be overpaying him then. But they got to maximize these first 4, 5, 6 years of him. And, you know, we have two down here without the playoffs. Do you think they're feeling that they really got to cash in on him being a 35, 40 home run guy and playing at his best right now before, you know, eventually decline will hit in the middle of this contract?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that it's because of Harper. I would say that, you know, the fact that they just haven't been in the playoffs in a while puts pressure on a team that's a big market team that certainly spends to win, that has an owner that wants to win. They brought in a big-name general manager. They brought in a big-name manager. Obviously, they've imported a lot of players, not just Harper, but, you know, Realmuto and others, Wheeler. You know, the effort has been put in. It would be a major disappointment for them not to at least threaten to make the playoffs this year. They've been, you know, mediocre is a good word. They have been mediocre the last several years, and they've got to do better than that for all of those reasons. In terms of the pressure, I mean, obviously this is Dombrowski's first year, so I'm not sure the pressure is there for him. The team was mostly set when he came in. Obviously they gave him some money to spend, and he did that, as he always does, and usually improves the team. And Girardi's not under pressure. I mean, the team was not good last year, but I don't think anyone's blaming him. But I think just generally the Phillies organization needs to at least become a contender this year.
John, when you look at the NL East, I think it's the best division in baseball. You mentioned the Marlins, you know, Kinsler there last year. They make the playoffs. Most projections have them finishing in last, and they're a team that made the playoffs, has a ton of young, good players, and certainly the pitching there. Is this the best division in baseball for you?
I would say top to bottom, for sure. And I think the Braves are an excellent team. I would rank them as the third or fourth best team in baseball. And I think the Phillies, the Nats, and the Mets are all above average. We'll see about the Marlins. I give them credit for doing a great job last year. I like some of the moves that they made. We all like that Kim Ang is finally getting a chance as general manager. But, you know, obviously they had very tight purse strings. They weren't able to keep Kinsler. They did bring in Duval. You know, they may surprise some folks again. But I get why they're ranked fifth in that division. It's a very tight, tough division. And I'm with you, top to bottom, best division in baseball.
John, last one for you here as we look ahead to the season. I'm always looking ahead to see which teams and where trade deadline names could come from. What are you thinking as far as what this could look like at the trade deadline? If the Phillies strike me as a team that if they're in it, will try and they'll add, whether it be center field, maybe the rotation, maybe another arm in the bullpen. Who do you look at as teams that might be sellers this year? I know there's a lot of rumors already about the Cubs maybe having a sell-off.
That's the obvious team. The Cubs are a team that could be a seller. You know, obviously Bryant, they're not going to work anything out with him. Baez could be a guy who could be on the block. Contreras was on the block this winter. To me, that's an obvious team. I mean, we could look at a couple of the shortstops, I guess. You know, maybe a Trevor Story could be on the block because he is in that great class of five superstar free agent shortstops. Obviously, the Dodgers will be in it, so Seager's not going anywhere. The Mets expect to be in it. Lindor is not going anywhere. We'll see if he has a deal in the next, we got about 22 hours to go for that one. Deadline. So, I don't expect him to be traded, though. But I would say Baez and Story, that shortstop class, or potential trade guys. And Correa. Correa is not going to have a deal. I know there were reports that they reignited talks. I don't know what that was about, but he's not having a deal. And it's potentially, he could be on the block as well if Houston's not in it.
It should be a fun season. A trade deadline's always fun, and hopefully the Phillies are in it. John, I always appreciate you hopping on. Thank you, and we appreciate you being part of the show tonight. We'll talk down the line. Thanks, John.
All right, anytime. Thanks, Joe.
There he goes. John Heyman. That was Odyssey MLB Insider. John Heyman. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. BetQL is here to help. us all make better bets through real proven analytics. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today and make sure you go check out John's podcast, Big Time Baseball, the best baseball guests and insights around. All right, so one from one John to another. John Heyman from Big Time Baseball Radio, on Odyssey. And, of course, now John Marks from Marks & Reese joining the Phillies Roundtable. John, how you doing tonight?
Both J-O-N.
That's
John,
right. A pair of good thing we could have. If we had it on at the same time, I'd just be shouting at John's the whole time. So it's good you came on after. I'm sure you heard or saw his tweet a few minutes ago. Before you left tonight, as you were finishing up the afternoon show, there were some rumors out there that baseball was reconsidering the DH for this year. Well, according to Heyman, they couldn't even agree on that. So there's not going to be a DH. So we're back to where we were 12 hours ago, John.
No surprise that this kind of came out of nowhere, where all of a sudden it's like, wow, you're voting for a DH again. So no surprise there, and no surprise they couldn't come to an agreement, right? So listen, I'm a National League Baseball guy. I've always been. I know the difference a DH makes. A DH makes a big difference on a manager, right? So National League Baseball I've always preferred, but I'm at the point where I've given in and I've given up, and I'm just ready for the DH in both leagues. I mean, how you have an AL with a DH and an NL with no DH is crazy. I'm a little surprised at it. They didn't pass it, right? Like, I don't know. I liked it last year. I did. I liked it. It gives you some options. It gives you a way to get McCutchen in for more at-bats without having to play him in the field. So, but you know what? Maybe they'll try it again next year. But, you know, let's go with National League Baseball.
Yeah, we'll get it back for at least 1 year. And, John, let's talk about the Phils, then we'll do some stuff on the rules stuff and how the game is changing. But what's your feeling? We're a night before opening day. It's opening day eve. The Phillies are over under is about 80 or 80 and a half or 81, depending on where you look. I think they could be better than that. I feel like 2 years ago, we got all excited. They signed Harper, they signed JT, and the expectations went crazy, and they underachieved. Last year, it was like, well, all right, new manager, new feel, they'll be better. And then there was the same thing. I feel like now it's almost flipped the other way, where people are just sleeping on them. And I don't know about you, but I haven't seen one national prediction with them in the playoffs, which is, it's fair, but I thought there'd be at least a couple where people would say, all right, they're going to take the next step. It feels like they're falling under the radar everywhere right now.
Yeah, and that's a good thing, right? When you have expectations, then you have people watching you for the expectations. And I think the Phillies have the National League and had the National League East. I'm not going to say right where they want them because I like, ultimately, are they going to be able to beat the Dodgers? Are they going to be able to beat the Braves? I don't believe that. But they are flying under the radar, and I love the lineup. I like the starting pitching. I like the bullpen much better than last year. And think about it, Joe. And by the way, 2020, I'm just throwing the entire year out, right? Like, I'm not making judgments off of really anything last year. It's not fair. It's normally 162 games. If you go through a slump, you're able to improve your overall pitching record. You're able to improve what your batting average and your power numbers. And when you're playing 60 games, it's impossible to do that. But I like this team. I am picking them to be the wild card. I think they are going to surprise some people. At the very least, I think they're 84, 85 wins, right? Like, that's low end for them. My high end would be 88, 89, 90. Joe, I'm with you. I think people are sleeping on this team, and I think that's a really good thing because without expectations, Joe, this year, what are the expectations on the team? Fans calling into the station don't even say they better make the damn playoffs. They have a top five payroll. They're not even doing that, right? So the expectation, there's no pressure on them right now, and I think that's good, especially to start the season.
Yeah, I agree. And look, the bullpen last year was, I mean, we can watch baseball for another 50 years and never see a bullpen that puts up a 7 ERA for a season. I mean, it was 60 games, but it was excruciating to watch. And I feel like Dombrowski has given Girardi options now. I mean, I don't think this is going to be a top 10 bullpen and dominate, but at least Girardi has major leaguers. Because last year, and look, all we heard about Joe when he was with the Yankees was he's good at managing a bullpen. Now, part of that was he always had a Rivera or a Chapman. Like, he had good guys, Betances. So he doesn't have that. He didn't have that last year. But I got to imagine that Girardi, with competent arms down there, he could get some outs out of these guys.
Yeah, and if you think about it last year, if they just had a competent bullpen, not even an above-average bullpen, they're probably in the playoffs, right? I mean, look at how historically bad bullpen last year. And I agree with you with Dombrowski. He came in here and he said, all right, like, listen, I'm gonna throw volume arms into the bullpen. Made a couple of good minor league free agent signings of guys that made the team. And you know what? It ended up sending some of the younger guys that had options left. It became a numbers game. So a guy like Jojo Romero, who I really like his future in the Phillies bullpen as a lefty bullpen guy, he's starting the league in the minors, start the season in the minors. And you know what? That's okay because you have veteran arms that have been there before and have done this before. So I do like their bullpen. I like it a lot more. Hector Neris, listen, he's not going to be my favorite closer, but you can get it done with Hector Neris if your setup guys are good. Joe Girardi is going to have an easier year this year. The one thing, this is what I worry about, right? Like Dombrowski has given a couple of veteran arms at the back end of the starting rotation. Now they actually have to do it, right? Like, forget about the first three guys, and we'll talk about them, I'm sure. But, like, I'm worried about 4 and 5. I'm worried about an injury. I'm worried about the depth in the organization as far as starters. They don't have a lot. So, like, if everything goes right this year, right, to where it's like everybody stays healthy. Andrew McCutchen bats 280s with 22 home runs. Bryce Harper has a 2019 Bryce Harper year. Rhys Hoskins gets the cobwebs out of his head and is more consistent and doesn't go through those streaks. This team will make the playoffs, right? Like, if everything goes right, this is a playoff team. But if you get injuries and you don't have a lot of depth on the team, you're going to be in trouble.
Well, we'll get to the top of the rotation. You're right. We'll touch on that and the really good from this team. But you hit on something with the starting pitching depth. So I was saying it earlier when we had the I forget what hour it was, but a couple hours ago I was saying, look, best case scenario, if I said to you, Eflin, Nola, Wheeler, give them 90 starts, right? That's an average of 30 each. I think we'd all sign up for that. But
oh, yeah.
That means 72 games, and this is the best case, 72 games have to go to Chase Anderson, Matt Moore, Vince Velasquez. I don't know what they're going to get out of Spencer Howard because right now they think he's a reliever. And whoever else is behind them in the minors, that's a lot of games, John. I mean, that's 72 games that group I just said has to fill, and that's best case with the top of the rotation staying healthy. So I feel like, you know, when you look forward this season, I could see Dombrowski, when he's looking at the team and what they might need, he's going to need another starting pitcher here.
Yeah, you always can use one, but in particular with this team, you're right. And I think you saw this last year. Remember, they were bringing guys like Ramon Rosso up to start games that he's not a major league starter. And when you're bringing guys like that, or you're using Cole Irvin, you know what I mean? Like, the depth in their minors hadn't produced a bona fide, even a guy that can step up into a spot start. They didn't have him last year. So, you know, Spencer Howard he's intriguing. What I saw for him last year is he needs some more seasoning in AAA, maybe making a K-Rod roll out of him and letting him pitch multiple innings. I just, like, all right, like, I see the stuff. I mean, it's not the best stuff I've ever seen. It's good stuff, right? He's the best pitching prospect in the organization. But, you know, would it be bad if he played a AAA for a little while? No, I don't think so. But, you know, Nola, Wheeler, Eflin, if they can be a locomotive and they can really, really, like you said, 30 starts each and they're being effective, Matt Moore and Chase Anderson just have to not be terrible, right? Like, if their ERA is close to 5 or 4.5, but they're giving them 5 innings, that's the thing. You can't tax this bullpen and you can't do it early. And if Matt Moore and Chase Anderson, listen, they don't have to have a low ERA, but at least give the team a chance to win and give you 5 innings or so.
Yeah, well, that would change things for Girardi and the way he manages the bullpen. 215-592-9494. John Marks hanging out for the final hour of our Phillies Roundtable. We'll come back. Your phone calls, you want to hop in, and we'll discuss Aaron Nola. We had some listeners earlier wanted you and I to discuss Aaron Nola because I think we see him a little bit differently. And let's talk about the way the game is changing, how it should change. As baseball's trying to fix a game that has become way too reliant on the ball not actually being put into play. So we'll talk about that coming up on the Phillies Roundtable right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. And there's always that one team that ruins your bracket. That's why this year I'm betting the tournament on FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook. Because on FanDuel, your first bet is risk-free. It doesn't matter if you're betting on Gonzaga or Houston. New users get up to $1,000 in site credit if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel has odds on all the action with games day and night, an easy-to-use app, multiple deposits and fast withdrawals, and always-on promotions. Your next chance to win with FanDuel is only minutes away. I've loved Gonzaga the whole time. I will continue to back them one final weekend. If that's not enough, FanDuel wants to make you a millionaire. Yes, you. They're giving away $1 million to one lucky bettor. New and existing users get an additional shot at the payout every day you bet the tourney. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 94WIP. So if you want a shot at becoming a millionaire or even a thousandaire, download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Just use promo code GILIO so they know I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code GIGLIO. Welcome back, Phillies Roundtable Show, Sports Radio 94WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley's behind the glass. Joining us this hour is John Marks, of course, of the WIP Afternoon Show. Marks and Reese talking Phillies. Are we going to get to an Aaron Nola question a listener wanted us to talk about? But first, let's take a phone call here. Gary's in Whitehall on with Joe and John. What's up, Gary?
Yo, JJ, what's happening?
Hey, Joe and Gary. What's up, buddy? What's on your mind?
The bullpen. If you look at the bullpen, and I don't know about you, you can count last year with Brogdon only be there and shortly. You really only got one guy coming back from last year, and that's Hector Neris.
Yeah, I mean, they rebuilt the whole thing. I mean, and Gary, I know a couple more guys will pop up. You know, John was mentioning Romero. I think he'll be back soon. But you're right. It's almost a totally different bullpen.
Yeah, the question I had was actually – going into spring training, they had all these lefties coming out of the pen. Now you got one.
Yeah.
Being that they sent Romero down.
Right, and they didn't bring they let Watson go. They didn't bring him to the team.
And he opted out.
Yeah, John. I was surprised by that, especially because the first 13 games were Mets and Braves, and I think about Freeman. You think about Michael Conforto, Dom Smith, McNeil. I thought they'd have more than one lefty, John, besides just Alvarado here. Gary, I thought so, but I mean, yeah. I think it's an odd decision to start the season.
Right, and here's one for you to make a bet. I'm putting this down. I'm going 15 plus wins for the top three.
Each?
Yes.
That's a big number. Listen, Gary. Listen, man, I appreciate.
I see it. There's 30 starts for each. I see it with that lineup right now. I do see it.
Well, if they stay healthy, they're all good pitchers. Gary, we appreciate the phone call. John, Gary's talking about the lefties in the bullpen. You mentioned Romero. I was surprised that they only went with one lefty to start the season. It's just Alvarado.
We thought it was going to be three, right?
Yeah, with Watson, too.
Spring training. And then you're like, all right, well, I wasn't surprised that Romero got sent down because he had options. I was surprised that they only went with one lefty. I don't know. I mean, the three-batter minimum rule, does that change things, right? I mean, I don't know. I don't know. You do have some stacked left-handers. You mentioned the Mets lineup. It's Freddie Freeman. If you want to, you already use your lefty in the sixth inning. Freddie Freeman's coming in the eighth. I don't know. It's an interesting move. We'll see how it plays out.
The other thing Gary mentioned there was the starting rotation. So I had someone tweet in earlier, wanted us to talk about Aaron Nola, because I think you and I view him a little bit differently. So John, here's how I view Nola. I think he is an ace. I mean, and I think there's different tiers. It's almost like when we talk about great starting pitchers or really good ones. Doesn't it feel like quarterback talk, right? Like there's
tiers.
Yeah, they're like Jacob DeGrom and Garrett Cole, and you could even throw Shane Bieber after last year. Like those guys are in a different tier.
Right.
But I look at Nola, and I remember when he first came up, and people were worried about his arm angle and getting hurt, and he had a couple issues, one with the elbow and then his back. But like the last 3 years, no pitcher in baseball has started more games than Aaron Nola. So he's become durable now, and he had the one great year in 18. I look at him as an ace. I mean, I don't think you and I can make a list of. If we just started naming names, I think we'd get to somewhere in the 10 to 15 range, and then we'd be like, nah, he's not as good as Aaron Nola. Like, I think he's a top 10 or 15 pitcher in baseball. I really like him. What do you think of Nola at this point? Because this should be his prime now.
Yeah, like you mentioned the quarterback conversation. I'd say he's a franchise quarterback,
yeah.
Right? Like, you don't have to be a top five quarterback to be a franchise quarterback. I don't know if that means he's an ace. We had Kevin Franzen on earlier today, and he said he's a one, not an ace, which is kind of what you're saying. There's like four or five guys that are four or five guys, and then there's the rest of the really good starting pitchers. And I don't think there's any question that Nola is a better starter than Zach Wheeler. Like, Zach Wheeler is the perfect two. Like, he really is a two. Nola has better stuff to be a number one. Joe, I remember doing a show, I don't know how long ago it was now, but people were so angry at me because I was saying that Aaron Nola Cole is a better pitcher than Cole Hamels. And what I was, and this was in, I guess, in 2018. And what I was saying was the dude's got better stuff. Like his straight stuff is nasty. And when he's on, he can be a true ace. I think part of the problem with him and the durability concerns, you're absolutely right. He's pitched over 200 innings the last two full seasons, and he would have last year if it would have continued. But like the one thing with me, and he was good down the stretch last year, 2019, he really pitched poorly. He had his highest CRAs in the second half of the season and in September and October. And he actually, I mean, his last month of the season last year, what didn't look terrible, but his last two or three starts weren't good at all. And you remember, he couldn't even get out of the third inning in his last start. So, Joe, at this point for me, it's not whether Aaron Nola is a good pitcher and a good value. He's a great value for what you're paying him and the production you're getting. It's whether or not he can be a big game pitcher when there's a game in September and it was the Phillies and the Mets and they're separated by a game and they're fighting for the wild card spot. He's got to come out and he's got to go seven or eight innings and win the game. That's the only thing that's missing for me from him right now.
So you brought up something that I think is, we're going to find out, probably get a real answer this year about this team. Because so for a couple years, they wilted down the stretch. I think in 2018, you can make a fair argument. They just weren't ready, right? They didn't have enough good players. It was pretty obvious. They just were overmatched in some of those games. 2019, it wasn't quite the same. I mean, they had better players, and they had Bryce, they had JT. That was supposed to be different, and it wasn't. And then John, it happened again last year. And there was one element of it that I think the owner even thought was part of it, was the coaching staff, the manager, right? They changed the manager. Gabe was gone. It was Girardi. And it was the same thing last year. I think we have to start wondering, like, is it this group of players? Is it Nola? Is it Hoskins? Like, we know it. There are some teams, some players that stand up and they're just better at the end of seasons and they rally. And then there are others that aren't. I mean, that Mets team that like 12 years ago when they had all those good players like Reyes and all them, they were dogs at the end of seasons. They couldn't get over the top. And I don't have the answer. I don't know. I'm hoping that it's just been a weird few years and they can get over the hump. But I do wonder that. I wonder if there's something about this team like they just don't know how to win yet.
Well, you were the biggest Gabe guy in the city, Joe, and last year you couldn't blame Gabe when they lost 7 of 8 to end the season.
Not his fault this time.
No, it's not the manager's fault this time, but the last two collapses was all the manager's fault. But what it tells you is that there is something, there's something there, right? Like last year was it, the bullpen was so bad that it taxed the starting pitchers and mentally they're trying to do too much and mentally they're trying to do too much at the plate because they know their bullpen's so bad. I mean, there were a lot of demoralizing losses last year that bullpen gave up. And you're watching the games and, you know, you're waiting to come on after almost every game, Monday through Friday at least. And, you know, it's like they're going to do it again. They're going to do it again. And sure enough, they do it again. The only good thing about it is you get to watch Ricky Bo on TV. His head explode on post game, right? But you mentioned Rhys Hoskins, right? And Rhys Hoskins, he puts up, I mean, you look at his numbers, you would think he's a better player than I think we feel like he is right now. He's done this since he's been in the minors, Joe. I followed him since he was in the minors. His average would go up to like 330, and then you'd look at it 2 weeks, 3 weeks later, it's batting 270. He's really, really streaky. Really streaky. This is such a big year in my eyes for Rhys Hoskins because he can show everybody that, hey, I'm a 30 home run hitter and I can bat 260 with a high on base percentage. But like he can't bat 225 anymore. He can't bat 225 and be poor in the field like we've seen, especially without the DH. You know, he kills him sometimes. I mean, he's being relied in the middle of that lineup to produce, and I think Bohm will take some of the pressure off of him to do that because Bohm's a better hitter. But Rhys Hoskins got to step up. So again, it's one of these guys. We keep saying, how do they make the playoffs? How do they win 88, 89 games? Guys like Rhys Hoskins have good years.
Well, and they're counting on him. The other thing, hopefully he's fine off the elbow surgery, which, you know, some guys have issues that first year. So Rhys is a big one. I'll throw another one at you, John, that I think is an X factor, is Andrew McCutchen. I mean, 2 years ago when he first started playing here, he was on base all the time. It was energy all the time. And everyone loved him. He got hurt. Last year, I thought he was basically playing on one leg. And I know he was cleared and he played, but he didn't look right. And they started him, I think, only 33 or 34 of the 60 games actually in the outfield. Right. And now that we know there's no DH. So, I mean, I don't know. He looked better in spring training, so that's great. But how many games can he play in the field at his age off of the injuries he's had? Is he going to play 130 games? Like, can they get 130 good games out of McCutchen? Because that, I mean, they really, and we saw 2 years ago, if he's not hitting leadoff, they don't have anyone that could actually take that spot at leadoff. No one.
No, and you said 130, and as you're talking about it, I'm thinking in my head, because I've had this discussion before with Ike, and I think my target number was 125, 130.
I'll take it.
I will too. And the first thing I thought about as I'm listening to you and John Heyman is no DH. That means McCutcheon's going to have to play left field for however many games he's going to be in there, except for the interleague games, obviously. But like, yeah, that's another reason why the DH is, that's a big thing, because now you have to worry about McCutcheon being out there. You know, in 2018, he combined for 682 plate appearances. He was really, really durable. He went pretty much his entire career through 2018 being able to play, right? So now he's 33, 34 years old. And, you know, I like coming off that ACL, it's like what you see with quarterbacks or you see with NFL players with Carson Wentz. They don't trust it. They don't trust it themselves. It takes a while for them to actually trust it again because they just tore the ligament. So I'm hoping this year you're going to see an Andrew McCutcheon that has a lot more confidence in the knee than he did last year.
All right, let's talk about the state of the game for a second, because I know you always enjoy talking about this, and then we'll end with some over-unders for this team. So, John, I mean, Theo Epstein now left the Cubs, and he's working in the commissioner's office, and it seems like his job right now is to try to help baseball fix itself, because it's gotten out of whack. Look, I appreciate teams that do things to win and players that do things to win and moving the line and taking a walk. It's good for individual teams, but John, last year in the World Series, there was 4 minutes that went in between the ball actually being put in play on average. 4 minutes. Like, that's supposed to be the showcase of the game, the World Series. 4 minutes. Like you and I both have kids. They're young. Like, my son is starting a little bit to get into sports, but, like, the idea of, like, there's no way our kids are going to watch the game if it's 4 minutes in between action. And the whole thing Theo's trying to figure out in baseball is, how do they fix that? Like, this has happened now. All these front offices have built these teams a certain way. How does the pendulum swing back? I don't know if there's one answer, but they have to do something.
Yeah, and it's funny. Theo admitted that he ruined the game.
Yeah, I know.
He's the first guy that comes in, and he's the smart Ivy League young kid that comes in and says, hey, we're going to use analytics in baseball. Now, I don't think Theo overdid it like some of these nerds right now, but, I mean, nerds have ruined baseball. They have. They've gotten too good at it, right? Like, it doesn't make it entertaining, but it makes them able to build a team that can be successful, and that's the Houston Astros. And, by the way, they had a lot of talent, too, in the Houston Astros, but, like, that's what it's turned into. Everything has turned into an analytic, and I get it, and it's useful, but, you know, I'm really passionate about this discussion because, like you said, Joe, it's the next generation. I love baseball. I don't watch a lot of out-of-town baseball these days. I watch almost every Phillies game, if not every Phillies game. I love the sport of baseball. I always have. It was my first love. And what you're seeing right now is walk, home run, strikeout. And they're teaching players not to hit the contact. They're teaching players to try to hit home runs. And what it does is it maybe makes them more successful. It makes the game just not – it's not easy to watch unless you've been a person that watched baseball your whole life. And like you said, your son. Your son's good at ADD. Like, I have iPhone ADD. You know, like, if I'm not doing something to my hands within a minute, I'm looking for it, right? So baseball is the wrong sport for our time. So, like, what do you do? What can you do? I would start with widening the strike zone. Make the strike zone bigger. As far as the shift, get rid of the shift, right? Like, you don't have to bastardize the game to make easy common sense rules that would kind of get the game going. Because you know what? Like, I always heard that the home run saved baseball with McGuire and Sosa. But the home run hasn't saved baseball today. There's more home runs hit now than there's ever been during the steroid era. Why is that? There's no action. There's no stolen bases. Everything is a home run, a walk, or a strikeout. It makes for boring brand of baseball. You need more action in the game. And, I mean, you can't force these organizations to teach their players differently. That's the problem.
Yeah, well, you're right. I mean, they have to change. They have to change the way the game is played. And I think then everything will kind of fall into place the right way. So one idea that's been out there is, what if they limit how many pitchers could be on a staff? So, like, you have these teams now. There's 26 men on a roster, so teams could have up to 13 or so pitchers. If you take that down to 10 or 11, you know what the starting pitcher has to do again, John? He has to get his team through the game, because if he's out in 2 innings. You know, it's going to ruin the bullpen for a week. It's kind of the way it was when we were growing up watching the game, where there was value to getting through the game. And I think now there is no value to it. I mean, the Rays have exploited that. Like, they just ask their starters, like, just go out and throw 3 innings as hard as you can, strike a bunch of guys out, and don't worry about it. We'll just bring the next guy in. You can't do that if you only have 10 pitchers on your staff. It would not be possible. So just with that, pitchers would throw differently. There'd probably be less strikeouts just because they have to save their arms.
Yep, and now that if you're 16 years old and you're a pitching prospect that has a real chance, all you're trying to do is throw harder and throw harder and throw harder, because that's how you're going to be a first round draft pick, right? So with pitching, it's velocity and getting through five or six innings, and then from there just go with 6 innings, 7 innings, 8 innings, 9 innings. You go to the bullpen. They've gotten too good at it. They have, and the game has suffered for it. There's some tweaks that can be made. What you said I like a lot. You need more action in the game. When I was a little kid and I was watching baseball, it was Vince Coleman and Willie McGee on the Cardinals, yep, constantly trying to steal bases, and it was a cat and mouse game between the pitcher and the runner on first base, because you had Ricky Henderson, you had Vince Coleman, you had Willie McGee. And sorry if I sound like an old fuddy-duddy here, but like, that's action. Like, that's interesting. It's cat and mouse. There he goes. He's stealing for second base. Now it's all right. I'm not even trying to hit the ball because I'm going to strike out or I'm going to hit a home run, and it's boring.
Well, Epstein mentioned he did a podcast with Jason Stark, and he said that they polled fans, and fans said the three most exciting things to watch in a game are doubles, triples, and stolen bases, and all three are at an all-time low. And like, that's it right there. Like, I think about a guy like Jimmy Rollins, right? Such an exciting player, such a great Phillies player. And when I think about Jimmy, the two plays of his career that I think about probably more than anything are the triple he had in 07 to get his 20th triple, to win the MVP, basically, and then the double in the gap against Broxton. Yep. Like, a triple and a double, him running the bases. Those plays don't happen anymore.
No, they don't. And think about it, right? Like, especially if it's a left-handed hitter, when that ball hits the gap, depending on how hard it hits it, and gets past the outfielders to the wall, if you have a fast runner that's coming out of the box, like a Jimmy Rollins, like a Shane Victorino, immediately you're thinking, can he get three? Can he get three? Can he get three? Right? So if you're at the game, you're starting to stand up because now he's going around second base. Play at third base. He is safe. Safe at third base. That's exciting. That's baseball. Trying to stretch a single into a double. That's exciting. Not walking and having a high on-base percentage. A player that's hitting .225 but has an on-base percentage of .367, that's considered successful.
So Rhys Hoskins.
I know. That's why I said it, because I was just looking at it. Or Joey Votto bats .180, but they deal with it because of the home runs and he can walk. Or he strikes out, so they're fine with it.
Yeah, well, you know what? Here's the one good thing, and you and I are kind of reminiscing about the good old days. It feels like finally, and Epstein feels like, the fact that he's involved now, it feels like baseball finally realizes, like, uh-oh, we've got to change this. Like, we can't just pretend anymore. We have to change this. I don't know how they're going to do it, but I do feel confident they're really going to try now. Like, they get it. They have no choice anymore.
I meant Joey Gallo. I think I said Joey Votto. Anyway, I don't think you hire Theo, and I don't think Theo says I've ruined the game unless they know have a problem. Like, I know people like Jack Fritz will be like, all I hear is baseball sucks and baseball this and baseball that. Like, we love baseball. The problem is it's not being passed on to the next generation, and you can see why. I mean, it's not hard to see why. It's not America's game like it once was. So you know what? You got to make changes. I don't know if that's a pitching clock. I don't know if that's messing with pitchers or anything like that, but start trying to do something different.
Yeah, look, baseball's not going to die, but here's what worries me. It's going way more towards what hockey has become than the NFL. Like, the NFL has figured out it's about television. It's about entertainment. Like, you're sure, you and I and Jack are going to love baseball, but that's what hockey fans say. And ultimately, the last, I don't know, 15 years or so, most people don't care about hockey anymore. Like, that's what baseball has to worry about, becoming hockey, not dying.
Well, I almost feel like when I'm talking about the Phillies that I'm the Flyers fan that's saying, oh, I'm a really big Phillies fan.
Right.
Because I know that they're not paying attention. And I know it's not like that right now.
Not yet.
But not yet. But you know what, though? It's never been like this before, where, like, I just even with friends and text change, where we're talking about the game, now it's kind of like, eh. So, I don't know.
It's different. Well, look, hopefully they fix it. All right, let's wrap the hour with some over-unders. I got some over-unders in the Phillies. You ready?
Mm-hmm. Go.
All right. 80.5 wins.
Oh, that's over. I mean, honestly, I should go to BetMGM and bet that right now.
Well, when Seltzer was on before, he bet his on the air live. He put a $30 over-under on the over.
Oh, so. he's such a show-off. That's such a podcast thing to do.
That certainly is. All right, Bryce Harper, over-under 36.5 home runs.
Wow. The number tells you over. You know, there's been a lot of Bryce Harper talk about, oh, he needs, like, hurt the camera today. He needs to step up and whatever. Like, listen, Bryce Harper's 2019 season was the second best season of his career.
Yeah.
If you're thinking Bryce Harper's more than that, then your expectations are out of whack and you didn't pay attention to what he really was.
He has a higher OPS here than he did in Washington. Like, he's hit.
2019 was a really good year. He had career high in RBIs, hit 34 home runs. Listen, some years you're going to have higher averages than others,
sure.
But like people that thought Bryce Harper was going to come in here and individually take the Phillies and they were going to win. Mike Trout hasn't won a playoff game. Mike Trout's the best player we've seen in I don't know how many years.
NL East finish 3.5 over under.
Oh man, I see. That's over. Until the Mets do it, I got to see it. And the Nationals to me are kind of the wild card. Not a big expectation that they're going to win a lot of games. I still like their starting pitching, right? If Corbin can bounce back, if Strasburg can stay healthy and he can be effective. The Marlins will probably finish in fifth place, but individually, as far as the Phillies got to start beating them.
Oh, man, it's years now.
Every year, I mean, like last year, the year before that, if you just win a couple more games than you lose against the Marlins, you're a playoff team. So they got to beat the Marlins. But I'll take third place, third or second.
Alec Bohm batting average 315. So the reason I chose that number. So last year was wacky, right? Only 60 games. He had 338. But in the last full season, 2019, only two hitters in the NL actually had a batting average over that. So 315 Alec Bohm batting average over under.
Wow, that's crazy, and I'm almost crazy enough to say it, to say over. I think at the end of this season, people are gonna be saying Alec Bohm is the best hitter on the Phillies, not necessarily the best home run hitter, but the best hitter. And I think we saw that last year. The plate discipline, you feel like you're looking at a 30-year-old that's in his prime, and he's seen these pitchers many, many times before. His approach at the plate is magnificent.
I mean, John, Joe Girardi and Ruben Amaro separately in the last month compared his kind of approach and his just like how he controls the at bat to Miguel Cabrera. It's amazing.
It's amazing, and he's a really, really mature kid, and he has the right attitude of I haven't proven anything yet. He's mad that people are suggesting he can't stay at third base. Like he really has something.
I heard him with you guys last week. I like that. I like that he's taking it personally.
He's taking it personally. Isn't that what you need? Isn't that what the greats do? The greats use things as motivation, and right now it seems like he's using that as a motivation. I'll take the over on that.
All right, last one. Over under all-stars, NL all-stars from the Phillies, 3.5.
So who would you be assuming?
Bryce could get voted in, certainly.
Nola.
Real Muto is the best catcher in baseball, let alone the NL. So that's three right there.
Real Muto's a lock. Nola is likely. Harper is, I don't know if he's...
It's not a lot,
likely,
but he's a maybe.
But that's the thing about the All-Star game. If you go nuts in the first half, they're all going to get in.
Right.
Right? Like, Dominic Brown was an All-Star, and then he never did anything again after that. Tyler Green many years ago for the Phillies was an All-Star. Their fourth first-round draft pick out of Whitby was an All-Star, and then he was cooked after that.
So the last time they had more than three was 2011, so it's been a long time.
Well, Bohm would be your fourth, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be Bohm, Harper, Nola, and Real Muto's pretty much a lock. I'll take the under, but I like where you're going there.
All right, John. Listen, man, I appreciate you hopping on for the hour, especially after doing a show today. And you guys, you're leading into the game tomorrow, right?
Yes, we will. We'll be on. I believe we're on from like 2 to 2:30-ish, and then we go right into the official pregame show. And remember that you can now listen to the games on the app, too. So it's not just you have to put your radio dial to 94.1 WIP, which, by the way, we still want you to do. But if you're using the Odyssey app, you can listen to the games now, and you haven't been able to do that before.
Yes, it is great. The Odyssey app, make sure you have it. If you had radio.com, it's become Odyssey on your phone, but if you don't have it, go download Odyssey right now. John, thank you. Have a great night, and I'll see you tomorrow.
All right, buddy.
There he goes. John Marks there on our Phillies roundtable. It's over? 4 hours in the books, Tucker? We did it?
I mean, it flew by.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I appreciate every one of our guests tonight and everyone listening and being part of the show. I can't wait for tomorrow. It is officially baseball season. You guys have a great night. I'll be back tomorrow after the game for the first final out of the season. It is Aaron Nola, Max Fried tomorrow. You'll have the game right here on WIP. And John was right. John was right telling you about the Odyssey app, which I'm going to tell you about right now. You guys have a great night. Is it Jody Mack night? It's got to be a Jody Mack night.
Oh, it's a Wednesday night hang.
Of course. I mean, I need to hear Jody's take on the Phils before this season starts. Jody Mack coming up next. You guys have a great night. Official prediction. 84 wins for the Phillies. Bryce Harper hits 38 home runs. Give me a bold prediction, Tucker, before we sign off.
82 wins, and we don't feel good about it.
Well, I'm not gonna. No one's gonna. 82 is a tough number to feel good about. But that, you know what that would mean? We both are predicting the first over 500 record since 2011. It's been that long. Enjoy tomorrow. Enjoy opening day. We'll talk tomorrow night after the game. Hopefully, a win. Right here on 94 WIP. And something you may not know, that 94 WIP is part of a bigger company. We are home to the industry's most influential collection of broadcast and digital content, podcasts, and premium live experience. We are the biggest podcast company in the world, the biggest sports radio company in the world, the biggest news audio company in the world, the biggest talk company. We're now part of a brand called Odyssey. You're going to be hearing a lot more about it in the coming weeks and months, as you should. Radio.com is now Odyssey. So if that's how you listen to the show, I know a lot of people do things in and out of the car, house, whatever, busy at night, especially if you listen in the morning, too, either rewind, people listen later on. If you have the app already, it automatically updated. Mine did today to Odyssey. So you're all good. You're in. No big deal. You have Odyssey. If you never download the app, well, first of all, shame on you, because you should have had radio.com a long time ago, but just go download it now. It's Odyssey. It is the app. You'll have it if it's there. If not, go download it right now. Part audio, part audacious, part Odyssey. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Go download it, and you can listen to the Phillies games, as Mark said a few minutes ago, on the app. Can't wait to listen. Can't wait to talk about it tomorrow. Have a great night. Thanks for listening to the Phillies Roundtable. Jody Mack up next on Sports Radio 94 WIP.